classic cult TV club where we watch TV from 2001 and before. Today we're here with Gypsy.
Hello.
Angus.
Hello.
Alex.
Hello.
Lisa.
Hi.
And Jeanette.
Hi.
And we're missing Mackenzie, aren't we?
Yeah, she's upset. She did say she was going to call Gypsy on Kids Messenger if she missed us too much. So, yeah, stay tuned for that.
Considering I've been getting so many, like, songs and stuff from her. She's been singing me songs. I'll play them too.
Oh, that's cute.
So today we're watching Crusade. This is a follow-on spin-off series from Babylon 5, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
is this your do-over? Or are we going to do another Babylon 5 for your do-over? We did talk about the Babylon 5 do-over.
I actually read about the updates in Crusades. It's quite interesting. You're actually allowed to assassinate your child now, which is great. Or is this not Crusader 3?
No, not Crusader Kings. This is the TV series, not the game.
Well, I looked the show up on Wikipedia and it just came up with something that was going on in the 14th to the 16th century.
Yeah, that was really interesting.
The same warning mark of like don't watch this that I got?
No. But yeah, it seems like we're watching a historical documentary tonight, so this will be really interesting.
I wonder if it covers the, I think it was a French troop of soldiers that followed a goose.
That's the Terry Jones one. We have that as well. I think I should have that on my documentary.
So what is Crusade really about, Jeanette? What is it?
So Crusade's a sequel to B5 that they only made 13 episodes of. It was to be a five-year series. And the last year of B5, the company that he was doing it through, or through, pulled the pin on it. And they went to a different broadcast outlet who didn't specialise in science fiction. So the whole story behind Crusade is that halfway through the first series, they started complaining that there wasn't enough sex and violence in it. And JMS basically said they wanted to turn it into a cross between Baywatch and World Federation Wrestling, and his aims for the show and what they wanted became a competitor.
It's a Babylon 5 spin-off that they were trying to turn it into a cross between Baywatch and World Wrestling.
JMS is the creator. That was a criticism. Yes.
I thought that was what the studio wanted.
He pulled the pin because he just said, no, I'm not going.
What's Crusade about? What's the storyline?
So it follows on from end of B5. Well, I don't want to go into it in case somebody wants to watch it, but there's a big battle. At the end, the aliens that were the problem go away, but they leave behind their servants.
In this case, because Earth was seen as having been part
of the reason the Shadows were defeated, the Drak decide to wipe out Earth. They're prevented, but before they leave, they drop a nanovirus over the Earth, which is going to take 5 years to adjust to human DNA. So they've basically got 5 years to find a cure before everybody on Earth dies. So this ship's been sent out into the universe to look for the cure and to look for any scientific knowledge that they can find that might help lead to a cure.
So they think this must have happened to other planets, so we'll find them and find out if any of them survived it.
So they're searching for anything that could help find a cure. So it's the usual ship crew. You've got your captain, your doctor.
It's very Star Trek security,
but there's a telepath on the ship. There's the archaeology, the guy from the archaeology
corporation,
which basically is all there to make money more than
anything.
So he's sort of starts out as a bit of an anti-hero, but it looks like you get the feeling that he's going to become a good guy in the end. He's one of the more interesting characters on the ship. The captain could only have been interesting if he ended up being bad.
By Gary Cole.
Hey, Gary Cole! Awesome! Oh, Gary Cole, he's in heaps of stuff. I'm trying to think what he's been in. Like, but what year is this?
Oh, this is 99.
90s. So this was like Office Space era.
Yeah.
Brady Bunch movie era.
Yeah. So since then, he's been in American Gothic, West Wing.
American Gothic was the first thing I saw him in.
Chicago Fire, Veep, The Good Fight. Appeared in Brady Bunch the movie.
He was Mr. Brady in Brady Bunch the movie. As soon as you see him, you'll know who he is. You'll recognise him. He's just everything.
He's in the Adult Swim series Harvey Birdman.
That's an animated show.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's he playing? Harvey Birdman.
Let's see. Voicing the title character.
Yeah. I was going to say it's the only character I could think he could be.
Yeah.
He's got one of those 90 faces that I feel like.
Yes.
Yeah. Does. I'm trying to think what I know him best.
Jeanette doesn't like him at all.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. She can't be captain at all.
Sure.
So there's also a thief on board the ship, and she was instrumental in helping save the Earth. She's there because she's got, you know, creative ways of thinking.
Carrie Dobrow, Tarina Nafir. It's got a bit of D&D in here, too.
Yes, so
she belongs to Thieves Guild. A technomage who comes and goes. The technomages are this sort of... They're like wizards. They use science to emulate magic.
I think their motto is kind of to any... primitive society, science would appear like magic.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So
their science is more advanced than that of the present day than the TV series, so they appear to be magicians. And he features heavily in this episode. So Galen, he's played by English actor Peter Woodward, whose father was the English actor Edward Woodward.
I was going to say that a few times fast. Edward Woodward.
I got really drunk about a year ago and heard about Edward Woodward and went on a really big rant about how Edward Woodward was the worst name that anyone could ever come up with ever of all time.
He was also a singer. He sung in Australia.
Edward Woodward would be a singer.
Yeah, he was in Pirates of
Penzance.
I believe that drunken conversation ended with little rhyme, if Edward Woodward could chop wood, how much wood would Edward Woodward chop?
Terrible name.
The telepath is Daniel Day Kim, who is a bit of sci-fi and other things. He was in Hawaii 5-0, Angel, Saints Row video game. He played Johnny Gat. He's been in a few things.
So far, out of all of the references that I've heard in this recording, Gary Cole is the only reference that I know. I feel like I'm completely out of my depth tonight.
No, I recognise none of those either. To be fair,
that's quite normal for Angus. When I start talking about actors, and we're just like...
The woman who played the Doctor, Marjane Colden, is actually a stunt woman.
Probably better stunt
woman. You're not selling this very well, are you?
The other series was axed.
Can we heckle this one?
This is Mum's version of a Lisa show. I can't even think of a particular Lisa.
This is Jeanette's The Room.
Not that bad.
You're required by law to say that.
I am.
You live in the same house as her. You wouldn't be able to sleep.
Oh, he'd sleep really nicely after that pillow's been over his face for a while.
Okay, so let's get on watch Babylon 5, The Crusade, or Crusade.
Let's do this. Okay. Let's do this.
So why have we picked this episode?
Well, I was looking at doing Crusade this year, but then when Alex told me about a month ago that Moira Ferlin had just passed away, I wanted to do a tribute to her. Anyone that loved B5 loved Moira Ferlin as Dillie. Mm-hmm. Her character was one of the main characters. I think for a female audience, a very strong role model type. Mm-hmm. She died on the 20th of January this year, age 65, which is very young. Moira Ferlin was an interesting person. She was Croatian, married to a Serb, and a feminist, and they're involved in filmmaking in Croatia, and she won a few awards. And then when the Civil War happened, because she was acting in a Serbian play, she was absolutely vilified and called out as a traitor, and she and her husband had to flee to the US. And when she died, they apologised to her. It was a little late.
Yeah.
B5, is it the curse of Babylon 5 or something? A lot of the actors have died very young. So of the cast, I think the first to pass away was Richard Briggs, who played Dr. Franklin, and he was in his 40s at the time and left a young family. Other actors that have died young are Jerry Doyle.
Jerry Doyle played Garibaldi. There was Andreas Katsoulis.
Yes, who was G-Car.
Stephen First. Veer.
And he was well known from Animal House. Michael O'Hare, who played the captain in the first series.
Oh, he's died, has he?
Yes.
There's also a story that he was suffering from schizophrenia. Yes. And he kept hitting.
That's why he stopped. He was the captain of Babylon 5 first series 1, but he couldn't continue, so they brought in Captain Sheridan.
Zach? Jeff Conway?
Was he the one in Greece?
Yes, I was about to say. He was one of the gangs.
Because he died as well.
Yes.
And he was in Taxi. Remember the old series Taxi as yeah. well? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you guys are like, I know none of those.
No, I don't know Taxi, you know.
But
you
know, I know Grease. About, yeah, I know Grease. Yeah. Yeah. I know about
I'm not
Taxi.
A fan of Grease, but no, he was no. in Grease. Yeah. I know
I've
he had a lot.
Avoid it.
Yes. You've never watched Grease?
I've never watched
Grease. Oh, awesome.
So it's in the box with like Lion King.
Oh, yeah.
So
oh,
I think it goes in that box.
Yeah, yeah. Never seen any of it.
I would have no regrets.
Cult TV if... special?
Yeah. No. I was forced to watch Grease a lot as a child one. And I, yeah, no. Mm. I don't have a lot of time for it.
No. And Tim Coyote was killed in a motorbike accident. Tim Coyote wasn't one of the regulars, but he was a recurring extra. Who certainly made an impression.
Zathras.
Yeah, so Mira Fallon.
Yeah, tribute to Mira Fallon. Wonderful person playing a wonderful character.
Who was she in this?
She's not in Crusade, but she is either the president or vice president of the universe.
An interesting choice in tribute, I must say, then.
Well, we did Babylon 5 last year, so, and not it's a bit too soon to do Lost. She also starred
Oh, she was in Lost as well, was
yeah,
she?
Yeah,
she was in Lost as well.
Oh, she was too.
Yeah. Most recently, she did some voice work. Payday 2, she was a voice.
Yeah, that's where I... The only other thing I've recognised her from was Payday 2.
And she was in a series just recently called Space Command. She was one of the main actors. And Bill Mummy is also in that.
I was just saying before, like, I can't believe that I've not heard Bill... Is it Bill Mummy? Bill Mummy?
Bill
I haven't
Mummy.
Heard
Bill Mummy.
Bill Mummy.
Yeah.
I've not heard his name in, like, since... The reboot movie of Lost in Space came out
he
like 25 years ago.
Netflix series as well.
Was he?
He
got a cameo
real,
in that, yeah.
He got a cameo as Dr. Smith, so when the female person is stealing the uniform and stuff, he's the person she
oh
steals
my
the uniform.
He's
God.
The actual Dr. Smith in the new series.
Oh, man!
He'd
be loving that. He was Will Robinson back in
yes.
the
yes,
60s.
Yeah.
Yes.
Back in the good old days.
And I was listening to a podcast today, and they were talking about, of all things, Santa Claus 3. You know, the Tim Allen movie. And
oh,
there's this
no.
annoying redheaded little girl in it, and that's his daughter. It's Bill Mooney's daughter. And they were kind of talking. Yeah, and they went on this big segue about how, like, he was a child actor, surely he would know better than to put his annoying kids in movies as well. So, yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, I've not heard this about this guy for 25 years
yeah.
and in one day, two references.
Well, he was a big role in Babylon 5 too.
Well,
he was,
oh, really?
Yes,
yeah.
he was in Babylon 5. He was on the
yes.
He was the offsider to Delenn, so
yeah.
he knew Mira Fallon quite well.
I didn't know he
yeah.
still was going on and acting
yes.
other than
yeah.
little cameos. He was obviously doing well.
Yeah.
Now, here's a weird one. Didn't he write the Fishhead song?
He wrote songs. He
yeah,
wrote,
yeah.
He is a musician.
The
yeah.
fish heads song?
Fish heads, fish heads.
Roly poly
fish
heads.
Fish
heads, fish
heads. Eat
them
up. Yum! It's a really weird Dr. Demento type song,
that
I think.
Sounds
yeah.
like he wrote, they put out an album, a B5 music album, songs album. And Mira Fallon was also a singer. She was involved in that, as was Claudia Christian.
A musical B5 album.
Yes.
That sounds like the Star Wars Holiday Special all over again.
It sounds terrible.
Yeah, it does.
I might be able to find
you never heard Fish Heads?
No, I haven't
no?
heard Fish Heads. We'll have to look it
so,
up.
So, talking about terrible... What did people think about
the episode?
Angus, you've seen it before.
I don't
you?
Remember Crusades well at all. I really don't. I remember, like, odd scenes, and that's about it. And I don't particularly remember much of it in great light. I wasn't the biggest fan of it. There were a couple of elements that I quite enjoyed, one of which I've actually based magic devices off on in Dungeons & Dragons, which is the captain has a magical box that he talks to and it gives him answers. And that was kind of why Jeanette thinks that the captain was going to go evil in the long run, because it would constantly ask him questions back going, do you actually trust these people?
Ah, oh, so that's what's
careful.
Happening in the intro, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
I reckon
been...
I've seen that intro before, and
yeah.
I don't think anything in that intro would have inspired me to keep watching the show. So,
no,
yeah.
The intro's
but yeah, that constantly would try and undermine the other crew. And there was a scene involving how he got the device, which was in a game of poker, that the other guy basically threw the game to deliberately lose, said, it's yours now, and then ran off.
And probably got killed.
Yeah, he got hit by a vehicle or something.
Running.
The captain runs out and goes, are you okay? And he's like, it's okay. It's your issue now. And it's just like, okay. So they were clearly going to do something with that.
Mm.
And I think those interactions are good fun, but I don't remember much of it. That's the thing. And this
it.
Is just...
Yeah. There's a couple of episodes. They brought a woman on board to be their continuity, because they had a few continuity issues. And she wrote a couple of scripts, and they were really good. Up until then, all the best scripts were JMS Penn scripts. but I reckon hers were better.
The continuity lady was bringing out the good quality
stuff. Yes, really good scripts. So, you know, again, with the first season of B5, episodes written by James are good. A lot of the others were a bit. And then when he starts doing all the episodes, the standard goes.
Yeah, that was the case with Babylon 5.
For season one, for finding its feet, and given that it could have been good. There's some good characters in it. The Galen's fun.
There's only one season of this, right?
Yeah, the first one. Half a season. Okay. They didn't even finish the first season.
No, they didn't even get through
the I think the Techno Mage is cool, 100%. Best part of it for me. Between the two one-season only sci-fi things that I've watched in my lifetime, I enjoy Firefly a lot more.
Yeah, it's a lot better.
I don't know. Yeah, otherwise it didn't really stand up.
Techno Mage sounds like a 90s DJ, doesn't it?
No, it's
a Techno Mage.
Yeah, I just reminded me of Techno Viking.
I was waiting for Sandstorm to just jump halfway through.
Yeah.
But they did go a bit weird with the music in this one as well.
Yeah. It had a real kind of...
So they're being slightly weird with the...
It was like, it was a mix between sci-fi and
Spyro Year
of
the Dragon, man. That's literally what it is.
Sci-fi panpipes.
Yeah, basically the music you have when you're Western, you try to do non-Western music, and you actually don't know anything about non-Western music. So
Alex, have you ever seen this before?
No, I know it exists, and that's about it. Mm. I didn't even know who starred in it. It's just.
Do you feel like your life is more enriched now from watching it?
I feel like my life is...
Because you've watched B5, so I feel like it's appropriate to ask you.
Yeah, I think... my life...
I'm so sorry.
I'd say my life is identical having watched it.
Oh, nice.
Unchanged.
Yeah, it's okay. It wasn't a bad story. It wasn't even badly presented. It's just, it felt... Generic feels rude, but it feels like nothing particularly special about the characters or the setting. It feels like you can have that kind of story anywhere in any sort of mythos that work.
Yeah. I want to say low budget, but you could have a low budget show that works. I think generic's a good way of kind of putting it. Like everything was a little bit low.
Your writers went on strike and the whole, what's it called?
Doctor's sing-along blog came out, right?
And that happened?
Yes.
This feels like it came out in that time with actors that were decent, but production material that was worse.
Vastly worse.
I feel like it could stand up a little bit better with a bit more of a... Maybe revamp might be the better term for it.
There was a lot of dodgy green screen material happening there. When did it come out?
1999.
Oh, come on. Green screening was like was up like... there. This was made by like some dodgy guy in his backyard.
This was
like Gary Gygax trying his hand at making something sci-fi with D&D in it. Except he'd do it better. Sorry.
This is clearly shoot at the sea in a game from like 1995.
That was 2008, by the way. So Dr. Horrible.
The analogy still stands.
But still, the production quality was not the best.
Not for the time. That was disappointing. Knowing the day that came out was disappointing.
I just thought it would have been like 96. Yeah, it felt as though the CG was not one that you actually were working on.
Because they've redone stuff like this in books. Like this is almost this exact story is in an Ahsoka book for Clone Wars. There we go. But legitimately, this exact story is in an Ahsoka book where she does the same thing.
Yeah, and also it's like I know it's a guy online. It's a guy online who's basically for 20 years has been doing conlangs and made a fake world. It's basically set in the medieval period, but he also made an idea of a far future civilization of Earth, and basically similar to this position of these people intentionally get themselves back into a medieval technological level.
Yeah.
But there's in his version of it, you have people from the future with their future technology coming down to investigate what the people there are like, and having it be somewhat like a D&D sort of style of having these magical things that actually just future technology.
They did something like that in Babylon 5. It was the worst episode.
Yeah, no, it was the last episode of the fourth season.
Because they were told they'd finished the show, and so they had to, like, the show would end at season four, and then they got, like, permission to do the fifth series while the fourth series was being released. And yeah, so they had to speedily re-record a last episode sort thing.
And then they used that last episode from season 4 as the last episode of season 5. But the
last episode of series 4 was dreadful, and it ended with them basically looking at Earth throughout the years to come sort of thing. And that was,
I didn't think it was that bad, I just thought it was a bit anticlimactic.
There was a sci-fi novel called Canticles for Liberwebs that was set around that. So that's what that whole episode was based
on. Was this forward or backwards in time? Because I'm very confused. I thought Crusades was supposed to be backwards.
No,
it's afterwards.
After Babylon 5. So
It's a sequel.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
That's probably because it had a real Blake 7 feel to it. It probably felt like
I liked Blake 7 more than this.
Yeah.
And Blake it's the organ music. You missed the organ music.
and Blake 7 production values were really bad.
production value, I think, was actually higher.
I think models hold up better than bad CGI.
Yes.
I think the models hold up.
It would have been difficult to do that with a dragon, I'd imagine, unless you're doing like claymation.
And I think he could basically do
exactly what they did with the Borg cube in Star Trek. Just get a gold dragon, make a gold dragon, and then throw it over the top. Because all they did was they made the Borg cube and then put it up against a black screen and then threw it over the top of shit. Mm. They literally used layering, and this could have actually gotten better just by layering the images as opposed to going...
so heavily focused on CGI that
that
blindsided
to the Muppets old school CGI would have actually aided this a lot. Yeah. Like, this fell
Babylon 5 really pioneered CGI use in space battle scenes.
And that's because they
and yet now look at where they've gone.
They had, and then they went in not so well. Yeah,
and I think there was an era in the 90s where everyone just got a little bit overexcited about CGI.
Yeah.
Like that scene with the older techno mage in the middle, and it was like, oh my god, that was from Doom. I've seen it in Doom.
Absolutely.
But then, you know, even stuff like... to me, maybe I'm a little bit old school, but I remember the original series of Red Dwarf where you actually had the little figure of the spaceship and it was practical effects.
Yeah.
It was this tiny little ship and they filmed it on a black screen.
That's what they did with the original Star Wars movies.
And then they
looked amazing.
Yeah. And then they did the CGI ones and it's like they've spent all this money on it and it doesn't really
look good. I don't even think they spent that much money on it, thinking about it.
Because it looks so cheap.
Well, this is what it looks like when someone goes... oh, I could do that easy. And then they just kind of completely F it up.
So I was just wondering what Jeanette thought about the episode tonight, given you...
Yeah, sorry I ragged on
it. I was going to continue ragging on, but I think I'll let you go.
I chose this one because it was fun. Mm. I think the two episodes written by Fiona Avery.
Yeah.
Yes, are better stories than this one, but they're a bit heavier. And I think you need more knowledge of the characters and... whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I just like gold dragons.
So that
single scene is the reason why I brought this episode out.
Yeah, definitely.
This is the light episode. There's others involved, mass deaths and all sorts of things going on.
That was more fun. A good kind of opener for me, not seeing this or ever hearing of it before, and suddenly there's a big freaking gold dragon outside their window. They got me by surprise.
It's a fun episode. It doesn't have a lot of the ship's characters in it, I realise. Yeah. I have not watched this for years.
Yeah, because I know about the captain and the detective agent, like one of them.
There's a thief character, and she's not in it. So,
she's good.
Yeah.
So
you'll notice there are almost no women in that episode at all.
Yeah I was going to touch on that. It's casually sexist in the biggest way.
But it is a lonely girl, that kind of episode. I mean, most of them concentrate on.
And you don't even get to see her being boss as well. They mention it briefly. And the men are just like, oh, she said, get me a shuttle or there'll be hell to pay. And then the other man's like, that's it. That's her little Spitfire. And it's
God. Just like her mother. Ha ha.
Oh, my goodness.
I've always wondered sometimes whether we should bring up the Bechdel test? Where watch some of these shows, but they just mostly just fail.
Yeah.
A lot of the B5 episodes would pass, but not this one.
There
are a lot of really strong female characters.
I think Bechdel test is this is pass or fail. It's more like a trend line of if most of the episodes don't pass, then it must be underrepresenting women, rather than this episode needs to pass, otherwise because otherwise you end up with, you know, a lot of content just simply being seen as, oh, it doesn't pass the Bechdel test, therefore it's not good enough, or this does pass the Bechdel test, therefore we can just ignore the rest of it and not actually, like, say, necessarily... Passing the test doesn't mean it's feminist, and it could have the female characters talking to each other, but being horrible people and horrible characters that are misogynist stereotypes.
See, that's actually a thing I wanted to talk about as well, separately from this, I think.
So, how would you like to wrap that up?
What would you rate Jeanette's show? I already forgot the name of it, but how would you rate it? Yeah, that one.
Babylon 6.
Yes.
Well,
out of food.
Out of food.
A banana going
a banana fruit roll. Yeah, a week old banana.
That's... One that's not ripe yet.
No.
I think a green banana.
No, I don't think it'll get any better.
A banana that died, and then a sorcerer has come and cast Revivify on it.
No, not even Revivify. Raise dead. Animate dead.
Animate dead.
I feel like leftover food that you liked, and then you put it in a Tupperware container and you put it in the fridge, but it's kind of been in there for a few too many days, and you kind of give it a sniff and you can't work out whether it's right or not.
Yeah.
You don't know whether you want to take the risk, like, to eat it or not, because you don't know how far it's gone.
It smells good, and it looks mostly good too, but there's one or two bits of fur in there.
Oh, no!
You're like, I wonder if I could eat around those.
And all you can think about is how much you enjoyed it when you originally ate it, like, you know, 5 days earlier, but now you know that it's past that point of return. But bins, like the green bins, like all the way outside. Yeah. And
you don't want to go out there.
It's more appropriate to be a Caesar salad.
So it's more
salad.
Like you put the lid back on and put it in the fridge for the next couple of days. And
then
you can figure out what to do
with it. Until my husband decides to do something with it. Because I don't know.
I feel like it's more like a Caesar salad. Everybody does the Caesar salad somewhere, and it's always different and disappointing in some way or another. But you know one day you'll find the good version of it.
But so you get the Caesar salad, and it's like 90% limp lettuce with like just this crappy mayonnaise on it.
So is this a friends don't let friends watch crusade? Is that what you're saying?
Let's just say if I ever get a bracelet in the style of what would Jesus do, I would not be getting one with like the impression of like what would Jeanette do or what would Jeanette watch.
What would the techno mage do?
Yeah.
You know what, we didn't touch on it enough, but I think you're not a fan of Gary Cole after watching this show. You don't like the captain. I think he's very underutilized in this role. He is never suited to a macho captain character.
He looks like Kevin Bacon, and he's ready for like a big dance off.
He's got a bit of a Kevin Bacon. I've seen him looking like sort of the intellectual older bloke, and he doesn't seem to come across well in that either.
Yeah, he's got a quirk to him though, and I think he tends to pick shows that are a little bit off centre, like the Dad and the Brady Bunch movie, and he'll do cameos in shows, or he'll have like little guest starring roles in shows. He'll play like a sensible looking middle-aged guy,
but with a quirk
that's a little bit odd. I don't know, have you guys watched Office Space? He plays the boss in Office Space.
I recognize him now.
Was it the one with the coffee cup? If you get that report into me, that would be great.
Yeah.
It's just that real.
Is Office Space like just a massive spaceship and everyone's just.
No. It's a sort of.
Because I want that now as a movie.
It's a very, very late 90s sort of.
It's a Mike Judge movie.
That means about as much as like. And then he came home with a box of oranges. Doesn't matter.
Beavis and Butthead, King of the Hill. Don't think he did Daria. Beavis and Butthead was terrible. That's where he started.
When I don't care even more.
I think he did both. But yeah, Office Space is very much as someone who works in admin, I've seen just about every single character from Office Space in my lifetime. So
okay, so we've got slightly old, used food from the fridge.
Slightly furry. Still smells alright. Slightly furry.
Doesn't even need to be furry. Sometimes it's just that you don't know whether it's right or not. And it's like a Pandora's box of lunch, you know?
The bread's gone dry and the filling's
lost. So recommendation to viewers? Is this something that's worth pursuing, or is it a culinary dead end?
Thoroughly investigate before consuming.
Yeah. Poke.
Sorry. Yeah.
Check for fur.
Check for fur.
If gluten intolerant, do not consume.
If Gypsy's bad TV intolerant, do not consume.
I think you've got to be a fan of B5.
Yeah.
You've got to be really pining for more B5. And
not completely soul crushed by Series 5.
That's a difficult
one. I think I just stopped watching partway through season five.
I watched it all the way through once.
And it was just like, it's hard to tell whether it's because the episodes were bad or because after the huge high at the end of season four,
it's just nothing happens.
I guess the final thing to say about Crusade is nobody knows what happens next. As in the whole storyline
just gets cut.
Gets cut. Yeah.
And dropped.
JMS never ever, in all his interviews, has never revealed what the storyline was going to be. He always wanted to do a rehash of it in some form.
Yeah.
Which is weird because he got an opportunity to do a second TV show that also failed.
And he's
and didn't get back to it. It was Babylon 5.
Babylon 10.
It was under the same title, but it was just like,
he did a survivalist series after that. Where
there was a Rangers show he wanted to do.
Some people just need to know when they're beat.
It was after the nuclear war. But then he went on and did some really big things.
So Changeling, the movie Changeling.
Yeah. Oh, Angelina Jolie.
It's so well known that we don't know.
Oh my God. That's random.
It's a major movie.
Yeah, it's
I've
like a period movie. It's like a 1930s movie.
Yeah. Oh. Period movie I only watch once a month. I'm so sorry to any of the audience.
Murder, She Wrote before he did B5.
Oh, wait, everyone wrote for Murder, She Wrote, didn't they?
Red Mars, Sense8, World War Z.
Sense8.
World War Z.
Underworld Awakenings.
Sense8 was done by the
Wachowskis.
Yeah.
He wrote Thor. Yes, he wrote the first Thor movie.
Oh my God.
Jeremiah was the series I was just mentioning that was the sort of post World War III.
And here's us talking about Babylon 10 and 11. Like, there's.
Murder, She Wrote a few episodes.
That was it.
Jake and the Fat Man.
Oh!
What?
The Real Ghostbusters TV series?
Ghostbusters was the cartoon.
The cartoon was fantastic. I loved it. Anyway.
We like The Real Ghostbusters, so Mum and Dad for Christmas got my sister a videotape of the original Ghostbusters cartoon, which is nowhere near as good.
Yeah, right. Changeling, 2008, written by, Murder, She Wrote, A Story to Die For, TV movie.
Very excited about the Murder, She Wrote reference.
Mm-hmm. Never heard of it.
Angela Lansbury.
No,
that doesn't mean anything either.
No.
Okay, so we'll leave that. We'll leave you with Crusade. Poke carefully with a fork and see if anything.
With a 10-foot pole.
Pole. Poke carefully with a fork. I suppose it should be on somebody's coat of arms.
Do not normally suggest drugs, but might help.
Those gold dragons, definitely.
Yeah.
With the animation of anything, even some of the actors look dead on the inside.
So sorry.
You could use deep nostalgia on them.
Okay, so that was Crusade, and we are the Classic Cult TV Club. See you, everybody.
Bye.